Well, you know, I'm heading that direction anyway. Why don't I just show you where to go? That is so much better, isn't it, than just getting directions. I remember when Josiah was in driver's ed, he came home, he was all excited. He said, "Mom, Dad, the driver's inspector said to this person that was driving with me, will you go straight through the stoplight?" So guess what they did? They went straight through the red light. Jesus doesn't tell us how to get to the Father. He is the way to the Father. You see the difference? And the reason some people don't have their prayers answered is because they're not born again. Jesus isn't in them, showing them the way. Christ is not in their heart. They don't have the Savior to bring them to the Father. A wonderful verse is Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 18. It speaks of the Lord Jesus, and it says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." That tells us what prayer is all about. Through Jesus, we have access by the Spirit unto the Father. By the Spirit, through Jesus, unto the Father. So to pray in Jesus' name is not just a little phrase that you attach at the end of every prayer. Now, I do that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but that's not all there is to that. In fact, it might surprise you that I don't know of a prayer in the Bible that ends in that statement, "In Jesus' name, amen." Today, I think we need to pray that more than ever because of the controversy surrounding it. In other words, Doug Small, I don't remember if he told the congregation this or if he just told me when I was alone with him, but he said that he was asked to pray for the state legislature to open up in North Carolina. And they said, "But there is one thing, Brother Small, you cannot pray in the name of Jesus." And he said to me, he said, "You know, I don't feel like I have to pray in Jesus' name. I don't have to put that on the end of my prayer. I can pray. But if they tell me I can't do something, then I'm going to do it." And so, you know, there's a great controversy today, and people are wondering, and it's almost like you're not a Christian if you don't pray in Jesus' name. In public, I will pray in Jesus' name. In private, I might not. I don't think that there is anything wrong with that because there's far more to it than just adding a little "in Jesus' name" as some kind of good luck charm, making sure my prayer is going to be answered. Amen. So what does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? Well, it means authority. It means three things, but primarily it means authority. When a man says, and he's wearing this badge and he has this uniform, and he says, "Stop in the name of the law," what's he doing? He's saying, "You better stop because I have the authority of the law behind me to make sure that you stop. And if you don't stop, there are going to be some severe consequences." Jesus, though, has given us the power of attorney. He has given us authority. He has given us the ability to act on his behalf here upon earth. And I can request of those things that he wants, that he would request of the Father, that I can use his authority. And he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me." And so we pray in Jesus' name. We are basing that prayer upon his authority. The second thing is that the name means approval. When if you're in a business and you send out a purchase order, whoever that purchase agent is signs his name at the bottom, and what he's saying is, "I approve this purchase. I approve this purchase." So when we're praying in the name of Jesus, we're praying in his authority, but we're also praying with his name signed at the bottom saying, "I approve this purchase. I approve this prayer." But he's not going to approve anything for you that he would disapprove of, right? So if you have his approval, he's going to sign his name to that prayer, and then we have what we desire of him. The third thing his praying in his name means is a claim. I'm told, a friend told me one day that I have a plaque in my high school telling me how many points I scored in my basketball career. Apparently there's a plaque with my name and the number of points I scored. I've never actually seen it. A friend just told me about it. I've not been back to the school in a long time. But he said, I just want you to know that they hung a plaque in your name. What did he mean? He means, we did it for your honor. We're trying to honor you. School is trying to honor you. School is trying to give acclaim to your name. And so you see, when I pray in Jesus' name, I'm saying, Lord, I'm doing this with your authority. I'm doing this with your approval. But I'm doing this also for your honor. I'm doing this for your glory. And you cannot pray for Jesus' honor. You cannot pray for his authority. You cannot pray for his approval unless you have his mind, unless we're born again. He's showing us the way. And so the first key to answered prayer is that you need to learn to pray in the name of Jesus. And again, it's more than just a saying that you add on at the end of a prayer. It means praying with authority. It means praying with approval. It means praying to give him glory and acclaim. The second thing is to pray in the Spirit. Not only praying in the name of Jesus, but praying in the Spirit. This time, if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18? Here the Apostle Paul is giving us a marvelous lesson on prayer. And by the way, can anybody tell me what the context of Ephesians 6, you know, verses 10 on are? The armor of God, right. Putting on the whole armor of God. Because this is war, right? This is a battle. So Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. What's those next three words? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. So first of all, we pray in the name, but now Paul also says that we pray in the Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Prayer in the Bible. Did you know that? In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10 tells us that the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace and of Supplications. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Prayer. So therefore, it's important that we pray, that we not only be saved, but that we be Spirit-filled. Now, a person can be saved and not be filled with the Spirit. If you just automatically pray in the Spirit when you're saved, then why would the Bible give us the command to pray in the Spirit? So you know what it's telling me? That it's possible then for a Christian to pray but not pray in the Spirit. Just makes sense. In the book of Jude, the postcard of Jude, it's only one chapter. And so verse 20, Jude says this, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so the Bible tells us to pray in the Spirit. Bible tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost. Makes it very clear that we are to do so. There are a couple of reasons for this. One is because of our weakness. Because of our weakness. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, Paul explains this. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities or our weaknesses. If you ever feel weak, you have a helper. You have a helper. The Spirit helps your weakness. The Spirit helps your infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is kind of complex. This verse is interesting because the word help has a double prefix in front of it or in conjunction with it, and it means instead of. Get this, it means instead of, but it also means together with. Now that might sound contradictory, that the Holy Spirit prays instead of us, and then the Holy Spirit prays together with us. But I want to bring this out because I think it's something beautiful. What the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us here is that we cannot do it without him, and he will not do it without us. The Holy Spirit is needful for us. We cannot pray without him, but he's not going to go ahead and pray without us. We work together. So we need to be surrendered to him. And when we are surrendered to the Spirit, he molds our prayers and he makes our prayers acceptable to the Father. To help means that he inspires our prayers. He guides our prayers. He energizes our prayers. He sustains our praying. So that when we're weak, he comes alongside of us to help us, because without help, his help, we'd never get it done. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that he does it sometimes with groanings. And it's interesting here, but this word speaks of sounds that are uttered at childbirth. The pains of childbirth is what it literally means. He makes intercessions for us with groanings. Praise God for the helper. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit, because prayer is hard work. If you've never found prayer to be hard work, you have not really prayed, because prayer is hard work. Prayer is warfare. Prayer is a battle. Paul says, pray for us that we might be able to continue to pray. The devil, he will attack you when you pray. Have you ever noticed your mind sometimes gets clouded when you pray? Now, we talked in Sunday school about thoughts, a good lesson. How many times when we're praying does the devil try to invade our thoughts? So we start thinking about this thing and that thing instead of what we're really trying to pray for. So we pray because of the Holy Spirit helps us because of our weakness, but also because of our ignorance. Praying in the name, praying the Spirit, not only for our weakness, but also for our ignorance. Because again, Romans 8:26, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We can't pray for every possibility. I cannot pray for everything. I cannot pray for, spend as much time praying for everything as I'd like to. And I believe this. I believe the Holy Spirit makes prayer assignments to us. In order for your prayers to be effective, you have to be selective. You can pray in general, God bless the world. But when you get down to specific praying, the Holy Spirit of God gives you prayer assignments. And he lays people and he lays things on your heart. And not only does he tell you who to pray for, but he also tells you how to pray for who you are to pray for. And if there are times still when we don't know how we should pray as we should, the Holy Spirit prays with groanings that can't be uttered. You can't put into words. I don't know if you've ever prayed till you prayed yourself out of words. But when you pray yourself out of words, then you are finally beginning to pray in the Spirit. We don't know how to pray sometimes. There's that dear sick saint. How do we pray for her? Do we pray for her to be healed, or do we pray that the Lord would just take her to heaven, which would be something far more beneficial for her? There's that troublemaker in your life. Maybe there's a troublemaker in the church, and they decide they're just going to cause as much trouble and havoc as they possibly can. How do you pray? Do you pray, God, get that person out of here? Just remove that person. Lord, get that person out of my life. I don't want to deal with this. I wonder if people were praying that way about the Apostle Paul. Sometimes it's not easy to know what to pray for, is it? It's not always easy to know how to pray. I have to stop and think. I heard Adrian Rogers say one time that in our prayer meetings, and I believe in praying for the sick, I do. And he does too. But he said sometimes in our prayer meetings, we are praying more for God to keep Christians out of heaven than we are sinners out of hell. We ought to be praying for the lost, don't you agree? We need to be praying for those that don't know Christ as their Savior. And so we don't know what to pray for. But here's the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes our prayers, and I believe that sometimes, even if we ask for the wrong things, but we do it with the right heart, he takes the right thing and he applies it to the right heart. And it's kind of like he says, God, I know this person's heart, and this is what they're saying. I know that this is what they're saying, but Lord, what they really mean. And if they knew all the details, Lord, this is what they'd really pray for. And this is what they'd really say. And so the Holy Spirit knows your heart. He takes your prayer. He takes the groaning of the heart, and he polishes it up a bit, and he cleans it up, and he submits it to God the Father. One author said he's like a transformer. The electrical energy goes into the transformer on one side, and one cycle and one voltage. It comes out on the other side in another form so that it can be used. If you were to drop that power off those high tension wires into your toaster, you'd toast more than bread. But what happens is this: it goes through the transformer. It has the same power, but it's made acceptable. It is made adaptable. It's made usable. And he went on to say, and many times our prayer power, our energy, because it comes from a heart that is right with God, the Holy Spirit says to the Father, now, Father, this is what he thinks he wants, but this is what he needs. And then he says, have you ever thanked God he didn't answer the prayers exactly like you prayed them? Are you glad that sometimes he didn't give you what you wanted? Because he always gives you something better than you wanted. Now, here's another dimension to this. Turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14. In verse 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. What we have been talking about is praying with our mind, praying with our understanding. But there is another dimension that Paul talks about, and that is praying in the Spirit. He's referring to his own experience and private use of tongues. I pray with my spirit means to pray in tongues. And with the Spirit under impulse or influence or anointing that he gives. The believer's spirit prays as the Holy Spirit gives the words and motivation. I tell you that praying in tongues on a regular basis will build and strengthen one's spiritual life, because it's praying on a different level. It's praying on a spiritual level. And praying in the Spirit then can make our prayers more effective. When we do not have the words to fully express our desires and our concerns to God, the Holy Spirit then can pray through us. And although we don't see things clearly, the Holy Spirit does. And he knows exactly what to say. And he knows exactly what to do. So I encourage you, this it might be new for some of you, but ask God to give you a prayer language that you can use and that you can pray. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying in perfect agreement with God's character, desires, and purpose. And although you don't know, you don't understand what is communicated, you can be confident that this language is expressing exactly what is needed. So Paul used tongues not only for praying, but also for singing, praising, and giving thanks to God. And so if there's not this dimension, then why does he not say pray in the Spirit and pray with understanding? He gives both. So one is understanding. The other is a lack of understanding. So we can pray with the mind. We can pray with the understanding. But we can pray also with the Spirit in a language that the Holy Spirit knows and understands. We may not. And yet that prayer is motivated or guided by the Holy Spirit. So both of these keys are important. Praying and understanding, praying with the mind, or praying in the Spirit, the will of God, both, I believe, are keys to use when it comes to talking about praying in the Spirit. All right, so let's, first of all, we are to pray in whose name? Jesus. And secondly, we are to pray in the Spirit. The third thing is that we are to pray in obedience. Pray in obedience. I think I'm going to go through the rest of these points a little bit more rapidly so we can get this done. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, David is one example of knowing better than to pray when he was living in disobedience to the Lord. He says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah knew better as well in Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 13 through 16. He says, bring no more vain oblations, that is your foolish offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. They were burning incense in the temple and God says, it stinks, it's an abomination. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot. It is iniquity. Even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth, they are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. And listen to this, he says, and when you spread forth your hands, it will hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Ezra knew better than to pray without being in obedience. In Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6, he said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass has grown up into the heavens. God, how can I look at you? He's saying, God, how can I pray to you, dear God, for anything except repentance and humiliation? He said, I dare not ask you anything until my heart is right with you. James knew better than to pray when living in disobedience. In chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or makes much power available. So David knew better, Isaiah knew better, Ezra knew better, James knew better, and John knows better. The Apostle John in 1 John 3:22 says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If you want to live and have a life, a prayer life that's powerful, you have to be living in obedience to God. All right, so I'm sorry, I missed that one up there. Praying in Jesus' name, praying in the Spirit, praying in obedience. Number four, praying in the will of God. Praying in the will of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. A verse in Sunday school was mentioned, Romans 12:2, that we can know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. James tells us in chapter 4 and verse 3 that we ask not and receive not because sometimes we ask amiss, that we may consume it upon our own lust. That word to miss means you're asking with the wrong intent. Wrong intent. So many people misunderstand Psalm 37:4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Does that mean you can have anything that you want? Well, anything your heart desires, you can have it. No, you see, the key is the very first word there, delight. If you delight yourself in the Lord, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, your will is going to become his will. And when his will, our will, and God's will lines up, there's answered prayer. Number five, pray in fellowship. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. This is a tough verse. And when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We have to be in fellowship. We have to be in fellowship with God. We need to be in fellowship with each other. Especially, it is especially important for husbands and wives to be in fellowship. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is, with your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Now listen to this, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands and wives that are not living in harmonious relationship, bitterness toward one another, not living in fellowship, guess what? You need to get in fellowship. Why? Because it doesn't do any good to pray otherwise. You need to be in a right relationship. You need to be in harmony. How important unity is. How important unity is in the husband-wife relationship. How important unity is in the brothers and sisters in Christ, the church relationship. How important unity is in your spiritual relationship with God the Father and Jesus, his Son. And number six, pray in faith. I'm sorry, I'm one behind here. Pray in faith. And by the way, praying in faith is the sum total of all of these things. I kind of look at it this way. Each of those keys will unlock a door to prayer. But if you take all those keys together and you make one master key, it's faith. It's faith. I mean, for example, we have different locks in this building. And some of you have locks to different rooms. Some of you have locks, maybe you have a lock only to the door up front. And somebody else might have a lock to the office, the Sunday school doors. But nobody here has a key to my office. So I have the master key. I have the master key that unlocks, same key unlocks every door in the building. You know what I'm saying? All of these keys are important, but the master key that unlocks them all is this idea of faith, praying in faith. Matthew 21, 22. In all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I want you to understand something, and that faith is the byproduct of placing yourself where that faith can be, where it should be, and that is in your heart. In all things, whatsoever ye shall ask, in prayer believing, ye shall receive. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe, first of all, that he is, and secondly, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you want an exercise that will help you grow in faith, I would encourage you to read books like the biography of George Mueller of Bristol. Just read the answers to prayer in that man's life. He kept a prayer log. And one time I was astounded to learn that he recorded over 25,000 definitive answers to prayer. Most of us will say, yeah, I remember that time when God answered my prayer. George Mueller of Bristol had an orphanage, and he raised literally millions of dollars. I mean, that was $1 million when $1 million was a lot of money. But God worked through this man because he wanted to leave a testimony of how God answered prayer. And God would not even let George Mueller let his needs be known. For him, he said, I never told anyone that we had a need. And here he is trying to feed and clothe and house all these little orphans. And he raised millions of dollars without ever telling anybody he needed money. Of course, when I first heard this, I wanted to know what his secret was. I mean, he was a great man of faith. What was his secret? And one time he was asked to explain the secret of answered prayer. Wouldn't you like to know what his secret was? You ready for it? Here's George Mueller's answer. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. You say, I was expecting something wonderful. That is something wonderful. I was expecting something really significant. That is really significant. Have faith in God. How big is your God? How big is your God? Have faith in God. Think about God as the one who answers, who calls upon us to pray. If God is calling us to pray and ask him for things, don't you think he wants to give them to us? If an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children, don't you think our heavenly Father desires to give good gifts to his children? In fact, he says that he would give the Holy Spirit as the greatest gift of all to those who ask. Abraham's the father of the faithful. God heard his prayer. Let me show you why. Romans 4, 19 and 20. This is what describes Abraham. The Bible says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. But listen to this now. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And here's the final part, giving glory to God. Listen, if your prayer is going to give glory to God, he's going to answer it. He's going to answer your prayer in the way that is going to give him the most glory. That's what faith does above all things. Faith gives glory to God. Faith honors God, and therefore God honors faith. Faith is not trying to psych yourself up into a positive feeling. Faith is simply letting your heart be open to God and let God dump a dump load of faith in there where it's needed. That's really what it is. Saying, God, I trust you. I open my heart to you. Come and place in my heart the faith that I need in order to see this prayer answered. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When Jesus comes into our heart, he brings the power of God, and he brings the power of the Spirit with him. And that's why we need to be born again. We need to be saved, and we need to be filled with the Spirit. Have your heads bowed. We have these keys to answered prayer. And as your heads are bowed today, and close your eyes, so that you can shut out distractions around you, and you could just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this morning. First of all, if you've never given the reins of your life over to Jesus, and you've not opened your heart and said, Jesus, come in. Lord, I repent of my sins and my evil deeds. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me a new man, make me a changed person. I receive you today as my Savior. If you've not done that, then that's where you need to start. That's very foundational. That's where you need to start if you're going to see your prayers answered, if you're going to have the Holy Spirit speak to you about what he wants you to pray for. If you've not done that, you can do that, even where you're at. And then if you have, are you praying in Jesus' name? Are you praying with his authority? Are you praying with his approval? Are you praying with the goal of giving him acclaim? Are you praying in the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit give you strength in the areas that you are weak, giving you understanding in the areas that you are ignorant? Are you living in obedience today? If not, you need to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I have been disobedient. But I purpose I'm coming back to the obedience of your commands. Are you praying in fellowship? Fellowship with God, fellowship with your mate, fellowship with others. And are you praying in faith? Maybe one of those areas is lacking. Take the key this morning. Open the door. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm opening the door. I'm coming to you by faith today. I told you prayer was hard. It's not something we just do. We need to get in our right relationship, the right place of prayer. And how many of you, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, Pastor, would you pray for me? There's some key that I've lacked in. But I want to be able to pray and have my prayers answered. And today I see the key that I've been missing. Could I see your hand? Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Now that you see the key, would you do this? Would you say, Lord, I'm opening up my heart. I'm opening up my heart to you. I want you to come with a dump truck full of faith. And I open my heart, and I'm asking you to dump it in today. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way. Not just giving us directions. Because I know for myself, and I'm sure there's so many here, that without you, we would lose our way. But you have come to live inside of us, to dwell with us. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. I pray today for these your people who are desiring this close, intimate relationship with you through deep communication and prayer. Lord, as you're knocking at their heart's door this morning, I know that there are many that are opening their heart. And you are saying, I desire to come in and have supper with you and have communion with you. And people are opening up their hearts and receiving you, not just as Savior, but as friend. And Lord, I pray that there would be many prayers answered in all of our lives. that we would look back and say, you know, there's been so many answered prayers, I couldn't keep track of them all. Not that we would look back and say, oh yeah, there's that one time God answered that prayer. There would be lots of times like that. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you have given us the privilege and the power of prayer. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. This is a message you need to practice every single day. God bless you.